And notice now the instructions that are given that come out of this incident, verse 6 and 7. Moses said unto Aaron, unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, and let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled, and ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. Now notice this. A restriction is placed on Aaron and his two remaining sons. They are not to mourn outwardly. I think there's a twofold reason for this. I think the first is clearly stated. The anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. They were set aside to represent the people before God, and they were God's representatives before the people. They were to continue in their office that there might be a mediator between God and man, lest wrath come upon the people and judgment of death upon them. And in the second place, well, they're not to show the outward signs of mourning which would contradict the action of God in judging their loved ones. It should be added, I think that they must have gone about their office with sad hearts. But they are serving God, and there must be no evidence of rebellion against him. Now in verses 8 and 9, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Now I want you to notice something that's important here. It would appear from this instruction that Nadab and Abihu had acted under the influence of alcohol. This would appear to be the finest examples in Scripture against the use and abuse of alcohol or drugs or dope. And it's never used. Everything else is used. Notice this. The priest must serve the Lord with a clear, steady, and sober mind. And today we're finding drugs being used in religion. My friend, today God despises that approach to him today. And you're getting nowhere like that. Look what happened to these men. God says, do not drink wine or strong drink when you come in before me. And this incident lends meaning to the injunction of Paul. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What a lesson against drugs and alcohol today. This is something that we need to recognize. Now, verses 10 and 11, and that ye may put difference between the holy and unholy and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And by the way, I should probably add this. We'll see it later on. That in the Gospel of John, when our Lord turned the water into wine, was it intoxicating? And my answer is no. Why? Because this is part of the scriptural evidence. God made it clear right here at the very beginning to these people that you're not going to be involved in anything that has to do with wine. And after all, when you first make wine, it is not intoxicating. It hasn't fermented. Our Lord just made it, you see. Now, I must move on down into this section here, and they have the injunctions concerning the offerings in connection with this incident. Now, in view of the tragic incident, Moses repeats the commandments which concern both the meal offering and peace offering. Now, I'm not reading it over again, but here it is. They are to take these in the holy place, and they are to eat it there. Well, the holy place here is evidently in the outer court beside the burnt altar, and it's holy because it was set aside for the service of God. And that's what holiness really means, that which is set aside for God. A clean place would be in their homes, and made so ceremonially, of course. And Moses, verse 16 and 18, diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, wherefore have ye not eaten the sin offering in the holy place? You see that they did this contrary to God. Now, this is a tragic incident also, and we have here a failure on the part of the two other sons of Aaron. But here it's a sin of omission, not a deliberate and willful sin as was that of the two dead brothers of these boys. Although the blood had been offered, the portion that belonged to the priest had not been eaten. And they just omitted doing this, apparently not realizing it and the importance of it. And now notice verses 19 and 20. And Aaron said unto Moses, Behold, this day have they offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? And when Moses heard that, he was content. In other words, Aaron assumed responsibility for his sons, as apparently the tragic incident had caused not only a loss of appetite, but a feeling of unworthiness in continuing to serve before God. And I think old Aaron felt like resigning at this time. And Moses at least was satisfied, we're told here, with the explanation. Here is a tremendous truth that we draw from this incident that is here. These men came to God on their own, willfully, and it was blasphemy, and God judged them. Somebody said to me not long ago, Well, do you think it's wrong for me to belong to this church? They deny the deity of Christ. They reject His sacrifice. My friend, do you think you can come to God in that place according to God's will and on God's term? God struck Nadab and Abihu dead for doing that back in the Old Testament. And friends, if he did that today, I think in some churches, half the church members would be dead, as it would be true in the case of the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, telling a lie to the Holy Spirit. The first one would get half of the members of our liberal churches, and this one of Ananias and Sapphira would get half of the people in the so-called fundamental churches today. Half of the church members would be dead if God was enforcing these things literally today. But my friends, there is a tremendously wonderful lesson for you and me as believers today. When you and I come to God, we're going to come on His terms. This is not an arrangement that you make. You are not making the rules. God has made them. No man cometh to the Father but by me, said the Lord Jesus.